All right, welcome back to the CTV show, and we are just days, I repeat, away from the 2024 NFL season. I'm Thomas Pogranik, as always, back with Christian Catanacci for another episode. And today, Cat, we are going to discuss our eight favorite futures ahead of the 2024 NFL season. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, and I'm doing even better as this is the last weekend without NFL football until third week of February. So we've got a huge ride ahead of us. Friday, August 30th, depending on when you're listening to this. I'm excited. I can't wait. I got jitters. Last night, I was watching Colorado versus North Dakota State University, and I was just itching. I was like, wow, like football's back, right? And I was thinking, holy crap, 7 days away, we've got Thursday night Chiefs versus Ravens, and I almost didn't even sleep last night. Like, I think I was tossing and turning. By the time it was 2 a.m., I woke up. It was 6 a.m. I woke up. 2 a.m. went to bed. 6 a.m. woke up. I had a lot of trouble sleeping, and that's only because football is just, like you mentioned, days away. I can't wait.
Yeah, we're fired up. It's an exciting time of the year. I think late August, early September, one of the best spans of the year. And that's for another reason, too. And that's because now's the time to lock in your futures ahead of the NFL season. Everyone loves doing it. The division parlays, the stats for players, the props, the specials, the Super Bowl futures. And that is exactly what we are going to be addressing on today's show. This podcast is sponsored by our good friends over at PointsBet, the official betting partner of the CTB show. If you're the ultimate competitor, you know the value of home field advantage. And at PointsBet, that advantage is yours. They've got top-notch customer support and easy deposits. Come make your picks with us on PointsBet and enjoy a seamless Sunday of NFL football. 19 years or older, please play responsibly. But yes, our good friends over at PointsBet, they've set up a phenomenal futures hub over on their app. Go check it out. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing today. I'm going to give my four favorite futures. You are going to give your four favorite futures. You are on the clock, sir. What do you have for us at number one?
Ooh, you're putting me on first. Okay, sure. I know, look, this is going to be the year I'm either going to sink or I'm going to fly with this team. And at least two of these teams, I'm going to parlay them together. The first one is the Chicago Bears. Those Bears, everyone that knows me knows that I'm a big Caleb Williams guy. And all throughout this course of the season, every single time the Bears upset, I'm going to come onto the show and I'm going to tell you why it's not an upset, because they are the real deal. Now, the Bears, as the first leg of this future parlay, I'm taking them to win the NFC North, and I'm parlaying it with your arch nemesis, the people that the team that is just going to come into the AFC East this year. It should have been last year. It's a year removed, and it's now, I'm not even going to call it the AFC East anymore. I'm going to call it Aaron Rodgers' division. And I'm taking the Bears and the New York Jets to top their division. Give me the odds, plus 983 on PointsBet's NFL Future Hub. So that's free plus 983. This should be minus 1,000. I'm going to lock it in. And by the end of the year, when I come and cash this, I'm going to sit back onto this podcast. We're going to roll the clip. And they're going to be like, wow, that was just free money, right? So listen to it. It's a lock. Caleb Williams, Aaron Rodgers, both making the playoffs, both topping their divisions.
We title our podcast, Our Eight Favorite Futures. Listeners, they invest their hard-earned, their valuable time to listen to this show. And you come out with your first pick, and you give a plus 983 dart throw with a 40-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles injury to win his division, which is probably one of the hardest divisions in the NFL. And then a rookie quarterback that hasn't played a snap in the NFL to win, once again, one of the hardest divisions in the NFL. And you're feeling good about this.
I'm feeling great.
Plus 983.
I'm feeling great.
I like the Chicago Bears. I do like them as a sneaky team to maybe win 9, 10 games, push for a playoff spot. I think Caleb Williams is going to be dynamic. I think he is going to be, as advertised, a generational talent. And the weapons group there is unreal. But win the division against Dan Campbell and his boys and Matt LaFleur and those Green Bay Packers.
It's I'm telling you, some regression's coming for Detroit. Some regression's coming for Green Bay. Played 6 good games at the end of the year, and everyone thinks they're amazing. The Bears are going to be better than Green Bay. I'm telling you that right now. The only team that they got to worry about is Detroit. But I'll give it to Detroit. They're a good physical football team, but they don't have talent on paper like that Chicago does. If Chicago clicks and if Caleb Williams can be that guy, which I think he's going to be, this is a team that, again, you can get them, even if you want to just talk straight up to win the division, it's plus 320 odds. So, look, you don't like the Jets? You take Chicago.
I don't like the Jets.
We're talking sharp picks. Hey, you want to call it a long shot? I don't call it a long shot. I call it free money. And that's what I'm taking. Chicago Bears, New York Football Jets to top their divisions, parlay it together.
All right, we promised you some good picks on this episode, and I'm going to start to deliver with them with my first one over here. And I'm not coming at you with a plus 983 because sometimes throwing darts, you know, when they hit, it's good, but that's not a very viable strategy, I think, going into the NFL season. And I looked at all these futures long and hard, and I narrowed down a couple that I'm very, very confident. And we start at this one. It's plus 100, so you're getting your money. The New Orleans Saints under 7.5 wins. And when I saw that this was plus money, I was jumping up and down because I look at all 32 teams in the NFL this year. There are a lot of fan bases that can sell me on some sort of upside and optimism. The one that I cannot come around is these New Orleans Saints. I just do not see any potential for this team to win more than 8 games this year. More than even 7 games. And the fact that you're giving me plus money on a team that I very well think could be heading for absolute disaster 6 weeks into the NFL season. They got a coach on the hot seat. They got a quarterback that clearly isn't their future. They don't have a lot of young talent. This feels like the team with all the different ingredients to become a complete disaster and spiral out of control. And the fact that I'm getting plus money on them to, I mean, they could win 7 games. 7 games is not that bad in the NFL nowadays. So when I think they're going to win 4 games, and I got, you know, 2-3 games to work with, I'm taking this all day long. It's one of my favorite picks going into next season.
Yeah, you know, look, I think you hit the nail on the head right there. The Saints are a bad team. And the fact they can get him for plus money at that line sounds like another handout.
It's just a division. That's the only thing that scares you.
No, Atlanta's way better. Atlanta's way better than them.
But even then, like, I think Carolina could beat them.
Tampa's better than them. What did they do last year that they didn't get it that much better? What did they do? They didn't do anything. We even said this last year when they got Derek Carr. It's like, why even get Derek Carr? It's like you're just slapping a Band-Aid on, like, on a wound that needs 25 staples. It's like,
yeah.
Okay, where's Derek Carr going to take you, right? Okay, sure. Yeah, you want to be average forever? It's an aging roster. Sure, yeah, they have some young, exciting pieces, but how good is Chris Olave if the guy that's throwing them the ball isn't going to get it to him consistently, right? Like, it's the same thing. I love Olave. I don't like the position he's in. I don't like the team. I think that's pretty free. I mean, my plus 983 is free too, but plus 100 is pretty free if we're talking New Orleans Saints.
You're 9xing your money. I'm only doubling mine.
So. But you know what? Together, we're 10xing it.
I guess, yeah. Right? Parlay everything.
Right?
All right, what do you got up at number 2?
I'm bringing it down a little bit here, but still, I think this is good value. And this is somebody that I've been high on throughout this whole offseason, and I've been very, very... I've paid close attention to this team, and I have some doubts, but when you're talking NFL futures, you want, right? It's almost like you're longing, right? Like, you don't want to give, I know Pac just gave you a plus 100, but like, if I'm giving money in and I'm planning to take it out in 4 months, I hope my money somewhat grew a little bit, right? So I'm going to go with a plus 320 here. And I don't even think it's that crazy to happen. We're talking Will Levis to throw for over 4,000 passing yards. Like, am I the only person that saw the weapons they had on this offense? Like Calvin Ridley, Tony Pollard, right? They already have Tajay Spears there. They already had DeAndre Hopkins there and Tyler Boyd's there now. Like, this is a legitimate arsenal of weapons for a quarterback that was already considered to be a gunslinger coming out of Kentucky. It's like, okay, this is going to be, sure, a run-heavy offense, but the quarterback still likes to sling the ball. And 4,000 passing yards in a 17-game regular season, it's not that crazy, right? It's not a favored line, right? We're not talking minus 150 here, but if the right things click and Will Levis ends up being that guy in Tennessee, which I think he can be, and I think he's in a position to do so, we could be talking like incredible value on this number. That's plus 320. I mean, 3-1, right? To bet a guy that's, again, like I mentioned, always consistently throwing the ball in college, and now he's got a boatload of weapons around him, and Calvin Ridley's probably going to take a step forward in the right direction a year after being removed from the gambling situation. DeAndre Hopkins always good to miss a couple games due to injury, but let's say he's there for 14, 13 games of the season. That's another guy that's a very good weapon still. I don't care how old he is. And look, Tyler Boyd's a fantastic number three. We saw what he did in Cincinnati all those years. I don't know. Give me even Tony Pollard, right? He's caught a ton of passes out of the backfield in Dallas. I could go on forever about Will Levis, and I just think he's going to shatter this 4,000 passing yard mark.
The one thing I like about this, too, is, yeah, you mentioned Brian Callahan's come in, and we know he's known for his O-line, and it might be a run-heavy system that he wants to operate, but I think this is a team that is probably going to be trailing in a lot of games, and they're going to rely on Will Levis's arm, which is his biggest attribute in the sense that right? He came out of college, yeah, touted as this guy that can throw the ball down the field, and we saw a lot of glimpses of that in his rookie year. I think he's going to be throwing a lot of passes. I like him to... I'm not going to say he's going to go full-blown Jameis Winston, but I think it's going to be a year where there's a lot of mistakes. There's probably a lot of turnovers, but this is going to be a team that I think is going to be able to score points and be in tight games. I feel like I'm quite high on the Titans, higher than most going into next season. I'm going to stick in your realm, and I'm going to attack this 4,000-yard passing list because there's one thing that just completely blew my mind. And I know there's always a risk when you're taking a bet like this with a certain player. You know, injuries can come in, and if he misses three or four games, it's tough to reach a certain stat mark. But when I look at future bets, I always love to capitalize on the off-season panic. And this off-season, Stephon Diggs went and he left Buffalo. They didn't really replace him. Everyone's panicking about the weapons that Josh Allen has. Guys, Josh Allen has hit the 4,000-yard passing mark 5 years in a row now. He's sleepwalking to this number. This is the type of player that is so, so talented. It doesn't matter who's around him. He's genuinely, I think, in that Patrick Mahomes realm where even if there's not a talented wide receiver group, he will still find a way to flourish and get the job done. And he's plus 110 to throw for 4,000 passing yards, which is just unbelievable. If you're looking for a reference point, Mahomes is minus 500 to do it. You're telling me Josh Allen's not going to hit 4,000 yards this year. You're getting at it at plus money. If you want two other ones that are kind of in the same area for value, Jordan Love and Brock Purdy, they both hit 4,000 last year. They both have very good weapons groups. They're both plus money as well. There's serious, serious wow value here, but I'm loving the Josh Allen one specifically because he's just too good of a player, and the Bills are going to rely on this guy a ton this year.
Even Matthew Stafford is a guy that at plus 130 with Puka and Cooper Kupp, like, I'm telling you, PointsBet's handing out some good odds here on this futures hub, but I agree. Again, look, Josh Allen is a honestly, the Bills as a whole are post-hype sleepers for me. I agree they missed their boat sort of 3 years ago, that colossal collapse that they had with 15 seconds or whatever it was against the Chiefs in the playoffs there. But I think the Bills are an underrated team this year. I don't think they're going to be as good as they usually are in the playoff in the regular season. But this is a team that, again, much like last year, peaks towards the back half of the year. Let these rookie receivers develop a relationship with Josh Allen, because Josh Allen has been predominantly a Stephon Diggs guy throughout his majority of his career, right? So let him develop a relationship with guys like Khalil Shakir and Dalton Kincaid and Keon Coleman. And once the season starts to get down to the nitty gritty, and you're talking the later months of the year, November, December, this could be a team that if they get in, like, look, we sat on these at this desk last year and the Bills were like, If they get into the playoffs, this is a scary team. They could be the exact same thing. And I love that bet. Plus money, I take that to the bank. My next one, I'm going to go with, again, it's an MVP bet, so you're never really going to get those crazy valued odds right here. And look, I look at this number, and people are going to call me a homer, whatever you want, but Dak Prescott to win MVP at plus 1,800, to me, it's the perfect mix between like a realistic long shot and avoiding like the plus 5,000s, the plus 6,000s, the ones that just sort of feel like you're just tossing your money in the garbage, right? But look, Dak Prescott up until week 16 of last year was it leading the MVP race, right? He was right up there. And what happened in week 16 was they traveled to Miami and they played a good game. He drove down the field with they scored with 2 minutes left, a minute and 45 seconds left in the game to take the lead. And then his defense turned around and proceeded to let the Dolphins drive all the way down the
field.
Too
much time. Too much time for Tua.
But my point being is that lost Dak the MVP, that game right there.
Well, and the next day, Lamar Jackson on national television, Christmas Day, pummeled the San Francisco 49ers.
Yes, but doesn't matter. Which goes to show how close he was, because it wasn't even him that lost the award. It was technically his defense. Look, regardless, Dak Prescott a plus 1,800, a guy that has CeeDee Lamb now under contract that's going to play the full season, has another year of Jake Ferguson. We already know how aggressive their offense tends to be, right? Mike McCarthy usually likes to abandon the run game. The run game is putrid, so they're going to be relying heavily on Dak to lead this team. And if this offense can sort of have a replication of what they did last year, and who knows, the NFC East hasn't had a repeat winner since, heck, I think the last 25 years, 2002, 2003. So if the Cowboys can go repeat, be the first repeat division winner in the NFC East in, like I said, 20 plus years, and Dak has a great year and maybe wins a playoff game or two, we could be looking at the MVP here at plus 1,800. So I think it's reasonable. I like it. I tend to stick to that sweet spot when I'm looking for MVP bets around like plus 1,500 to plus 2,000. So this falls right in there. Give me Dak Prescott to win the MVP.
I actually like this a lot just because how it's priced. I think he shouldn't be more of a long shot than your Jordan Loves and your Brock Purdy's, which he is. And then he's in the realm of Jared Goff's and Justin Herbert, who, you know, doesn't have very good weapons. And I don't think he's going to have a ton of great numbers offensively this year. And Aaron Rodgers, who, let's be honest, his days of throwing for 300 yards and three touchdowns every week are long gone. He's still a very, very efficient and accurate quarterback, but he's just not going to put up a ton of yards and touchdowns. So I actually like where he's priced a lot, and I feel like he's probably the most, like, if you're talking MVP candidates, I would put him as kind of in my top five, and there's a good 9-10 quarterbacks ahead of him here on PointsBet. So I like that one. Don't like it as much as my last pick until we get into our Super Bowl winners. I'm going over to the running backs now. And just like there's a 4,000 plus passing yards prop, there's a 1,000 plus rushing yards. And there is a player that priced at plus 250 just feels like this should not be allowed. And that's Devon Achane. Because this guy last year averaged 7.8 yards per attempt and 70 yards rushing per game in very, very limited action as a rookie that they didn't really know how good he was to start the year. He was playing behind Raheem Mostert, and he had some injury troubles, and he was still knocking on the door of 1,000 yards. The fact that you get him at plus 250, even if you're worried about injuries, for that value, you cannot say no. Because this is a guy that, whether you're on your own one-yard line or, you know, midfield, it doesn't matter. When he has the ball in his hands, there is a threat for a touchdown on every single play. He is that good. Devon Achane to get 1,000-plus rushing yards at plus 250 is probably my favorite bet. And it's also my biggest long shot that I've talked about so far.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's, I was prepared for like a plus 4, plus 140, plus 150. But plus 250, that's nearly double. Oof. Again, that's incredible value. And like you mentioned, this is a guy that even if he gets 13 carries a game, which is still, you average that out, that's plenty enough. But one of those 13 carries, you know, is going for at least 30, 40 yards. Like, he just feels, and you're not factoring in the ones that are going to go for 60, 70, because he is just that explosive of a playmaker. And I do think you're going to see still a committee in that backfield, but I think the lead back is definitely going to be Achane. Like, I think Mostert is definitely on the back half of his career, which is still a fantastic career, and he's still going to have a role in this offense. But I think the most dynamic back in Miami is Devon Achane, and the plaque that you can get that at plus 250 is to me feels like free money.
Yeah, right? I don't think, like, I'm not sitting here saying he's going to average 7.8 yards per attempt again, because that is just so insane that it just feels unrealistic to expect that. But he's just a big play waiting to happen. He's going to feature more. They're going to put the ball in his hands more. And I think he's due for a big season. So plus 250, it's tough to say no to that one. So those are my three props. You have given three props, we'll call them as well.
And when I take them to the bank after, I'm telling you, I'm going to be loaded.
Yeah, that plus 980. They're going to say, thank you very much.
I should parlay them all together.
The Jets. As soon as they see that you have the Jets on it, they just say, next. We're just laughing at this guy. That's what the New York Jets.
You see that guy on Instagram that created that account that till he met Aaron Rodgers?
I did see that. Yeah.
That's why they're going to win the division, because that guy right there.
That's not going to happen.
And it's green 19. I didn't know it was green 19. I thought it was green 18.
Green 18, yeah. A lot of people, I saw that was like a trendy thing. Let's talk about things that have nothing to do with the Jets, because our last pick is about the Super Bowl.
Oh, I thought that's why we were talking about the Jets.
No, not even, unless you want to pick the Jets for the segment, which I don't invite you to do. But like we mentioned right off the top of the show, the NFL Futures Hub on PointsBet, you can find it on the web, you can find it on their mobile app. It is a great, great tool. And in this case, you can predict the exact Super Bowl outcome, and the odds that they're giving in this is just absolutely crazy. So we're both going to predict our Super Bowl winner and our Super Bowl runner-up, and we will let you know the odds of that parlayed together. You want to get us started, sir?
Sure. I want to put emphasis on the odds, because the fact that last year's Super Bowl matchup is plus 2,700 to just be the complete opposite outcome, so the 49ers over the Chiefs is plus 2,700. Like, I'm definitely going to take that. I'm going to take it 100%. Like, the 49ers are still the best team in the NFC, and the Chiefs are still the best eight team in the AFC. They may not be the best team on the paper like the 49ers are, but look, they got Patrick Mahomes. So if I'm going to give my money to somebody that's going to keep it keepsake, I'm going to put it in the hands of Patrick Mahomes, as opposed to, like, Aaron Rodgers, love you, but I'm going to give it to Patrick Mahomes here, because, again, he seems to do it more than anybody else, right? Tom Brady's not here anymore, and Patrick Mahomes is now. So I'm going to take the 49ers to win the Super Bowl. Kyle Shanahan just has to get it done. Like, this is one guy that's like, how many chances is he going to get until he finally wins one, right? It's like the Bills in the 90s going to four straight Super Bowls. And
they never won.
And they never won.
And you're, right? Now you're taking him to win.
Yeah, because it has to. There's no way that Kyle Shanahan is going to lose another Super Bowl. If he gets there, he will eventually, but not this year. The 49ers are bringing it home, and they're going to just get sweet revenge against the Kansas City Chiefs. Give me plus 2,700. That's 27-1. Like, give me that all day. 49ers over the Chiefs. Thanks to PointsBet on the Futures Hub. I get free plus 27, like, this free money. I can't believe I've never been this rich in my life. I've never been this rich in my life.
None of your futures. I can't wait to revisit this episode 8 months down the line, and you're just,
we're gonna have a money machine behind us.
Quick 0-4 on your predictions over here. If you're a frequent listener of this show, you know where I stand on this whole thing. Patrick Mahomes, I say it every single year, I will take them to be the Super Bowl champions until he either retires or is just not clearly the best player in the sport by a country mile. And the fact that you can get them at plus 500 to win the Super Bowl on the PointsBet Futures Hub, I'm taking that. So that's my first ingredient of my parlay. Now I got to take someone to win the NFC Championship, not win the Super Bowl. San Fran was really tempting. San Fran was really tempting to be the runners-up. That parlay is plus 1940. So that is some very nice value for, you know, part three of what have been two really good Super Bowls. And the 49ers to be NFC champions, they're plus 240. So you're getting good value here. I'm going to make this one a bit of a long shot, though, because the Green Bay Packers made Jordan Love the highest-paid player in the NFL. And I really do think he's in for a big season, and he's going to back it up. And they're plus 800 to win.
Because it's not happening. That's why
the NFC. So when you parlay that, you're looking at plus 5,300 for the Chiefs to knock off the Green Bay Packers in the Super Bowl. And that is what's going to happen. That is my Super Bowl future. That is my Super Bowl runner-up future, all on the Points Bet Futures Hub. And there it is, our eight favorite futures heading into the 2024 NFL season. Kat, what do you have to say about some of the picks that you just
I think all mine are free. I think they're locks. I think I'm going to go 5 for 5 or 4 for 4, whatever. However many picks I pick.
Are you all tailing hitting any of mine? That's what I want to ask.
No,
you.
I'm going to fade yours.
You don't like any of the
I like it. You know which ones that I was looking at while you were talking about your Devon Achane one? Kenneth Walker is plus 145 to get 1,000 yards. That's another guy that's going to have a massive year.
I think so too. 100%. Because he's more of the workhorse in Seattle.
And they said it too. They came out and said, like, this is a 3-down back. So they're going to use that guy, right? Geno Smith's not a guy that's going to sling it 40 times a game either. So, look, you know what, Puck? I'll tail a couple. I don't like the Packers one. I think the Packers are one of the teams that I'm going to fade this year. Just because, again, everyone you ask, it's like, who's going to go to the Super Bowl? The Packers. Everyone's going to...
They're kind of the Houston. I'm out on Houston. Not that I don't think they're a good team.
I'm out on both.
I'm just not like...
No, I don't think
all gung ho that they're even going to win the AFC South. Like, I give Jacksonville a good run. I give the Colts, or I just think they're more of an intriguing team. But
I think the Titans are an intriguing team too. That's why, like, I think that's an intriguing division. I also think they're both intriguing divisions. I just think that there's so much promise, and like, I don't know. One of those teams definitely has to disappoint this year. It's either going to be the Packers or it's either going to be the Texans. Maybe not. It might not be both, but there's too many people that are too gung-ho about these two teams that just gives me sort of cold feet. I've been around the sport for too long to tell, like, it's not that easy, right? Everyone goes like, oh, who's going to the... We were at football the other week on Wednesday, and I think I talked about the Super Bowl to like maybe 50 people, and it felt like every other person was saying the Packers are going to win. The Packers are going to win. The Packers are going to win. And then there was a couple of occasional Texans. It's like, okay, what about the 30 other teams that there are? Like, no one said Chiefs. No one said 49ers, right? Whatever. I don't know.
We'll keep it, but people are sick and they want to give a different answer.
Yeah, 100%.
If you sit here and you're like me and you'd be like, well, the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl, it's like, wow, you're really onto something there. Like, that's how hard is it for me to predict Patrick Mahomes to win the Super Bowl every year? It's not. It's the obvious pick. They're the favorites for a reason. So I think people like to find a team that isn't necessarily established but is on the come up, as people like to say. And I think the Texans and the Packers are, they kind of fit that profile. The reason I like the Packers more is because I feel like the NFC is more wide open.
Yeah,
I think
100%.
The AFC,
100%.
You can drop one tough game and that's it. You're out of the playoffs. Like, that's fair. It's almost like college football in the sense that there's 0-0 margin for error in this conference because of how stacked it is.
That's fair. I mean, look, if you learn one thing about this podcast, other than I'm a way better and way sharper pick maker than Pac, it's that points bet has probably one of the coolest features ever with this NFL Futures Hub. I think this is amazing. You can very rarely find a place that you can parlay and craft different futures together. Many, 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 many sports books don't allow this. They just allow you to take your one and you got to just sort of stick to your straight. But at PointsBet, you can parlay anything, really. Like, it's, you got to check it out for yourself. You got to go to the NFL Futures Hub. Their NFL futures in general are awesome, great value, like you saw here. And that's awesome. Make sure you use code Blitz at sign up. They're awesome over there. Points Bet, there isn't a single other sports book that I would rather use, especially when we're talking value here. And again, if you're going to tell my picks, not Pox, you want to fade Pox, there's no other way to put it than go to Points Bet to do it.
I feel like with all this trash talk, it's the perfect opportunity to announce that we will also be doing, once again, back for another year, our weekly spread picks. Or I don't know if they have to be necessarily spreads. Our weekly picks on the podcast.
Weekly picks.
We're going to do two a week each. We're going to compete against each other.
Maybe we'll spice it up. Whoever's got more money in the account at the end of the year
is the winner.
Yeah, is the winner. Maybe the loser does something. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Well, we got to think of it before Thursday. We will be back before Thursday with another episode. I think it's going to be, it's either going to be a week one preview or just a big preview of the season as well. If you were expecting our seven other division preview episodes, We will touch on each division.
Yeah, yeah. We tried to do that, we just got everything so busy, and it's like, okay, whatever. We'll eventually touch upon that in the season preview episode, right? So AFC North fans, you won. You were the one.
Fair enough. They're the best division.
It is what it is.
The best division got its own episode. We'll touch on everything else in next week's episode ahead of week one, but we're almost there. We can almost taste the season. Football is back. Thank you so much for tuning in if you made it to the end. Thank you so much for all the support on the podcast as of late. It's been great. Happy September, I guess. And we will see you very soon.
See you guys.